I'm Dan Persons, movie reviewer for Hour of the Wolf. The high-level takeaway from Mad Max Fury Road, I guess, is that director George Miller treats it as if nothing has happened in film between the end of Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome and now. But something did happen, and that something is a franchise called Fast and Furious. After watching Universal harvest a heap of money for relatively little outlay, somebody at Warner's maybe or Village Roadshow maybe said, "Hey, we've got a franchise with insane car stunts too." In fact, Mad Max, the franchise, kind of defined insane car chase movies, at least for the American market. They were doing it in Australia for a while before that anyway. In any case, 30 years hence, here comes Max again in the person of Tom Hardy this time, since Mel Gibson is otherwise unoccupied, either voluntarily or not. And I have to admit, watching this film reawakened my concerns about maybe having become too jaded about summer movies. A lot has been made of Mad Max Fury Road and its use of practical stunts over CG. There is a lot of CG in the film anyway, because there needs to be, but it's also clear there are a lot of real people piloting and contending with real rolling hardware in there. And there's also been a lot of celebration for how Fury Road is stripping the summer action film down to its purest form. Yes, it is essentially a two-hour-long chase sequence with Max joining forces with Charlize Theron's Imperata Furiosa, lots of colorfully named characters in this film, to help a group of runaway brides escape their imprisonment from a brutal warlord. You gotta respect the effort, at least. It is a kind of pure cinema, pure kinetics. There are problems with it, though, one of which is when you're starting at that accelerated energy level, the risk of overload becomes very real. No matter how insane you make your mise-en-scene, and George Miller is no stranger to plenty insane, Fury Road overflows with colorfully grotesque characters, including hordes of whitewashed slaves, scarified warriors, a clutch of bounteous milk mothers, Master Sands Blaster, and a giant rolling heavy metal war band, and that's just the first half hour there. Throwing all of that in, you fast get to the point of, okay, I get it. What else have you got? I sat there soaking it all in and being, ironically for so car-centric a movie, completely unmoved. Doesn't help that Tom Hardy doesn't project much charisma as the new Max. However you feel about Gibson as a person, you have to admit he has something as a screen presence that isn't easily replicated. And this is not particularly Max's film anyway. Miller seems more fascinated by Theron and her band of comely escapees, with Max along for the ride because, somebody possibly thought, you couldn't sell a film called Mad Maxine. It's too bad, because the real fun comes from watching Theron with a robotic prosthetic arm and company being all hardcore with bad guys. Even one of the bad guys, Nux, played by Nicholas Hoult, is a more fascinating character to spend time with than the guy with his name on the title. That's not good. So, Mad Max Fury Road is big and loud and very inventive in its visuals and its characters and its action. I can't deny that. And it left me sitting there straining to wrest some enjoyment out of it. I didn't get there. There is something to be said for George Miller bringing back the crazy intensity of classic Australian action film. There's nothing like it in the world still, and for all that this didn't work for me, I'm hoping we'll see more. So, good there, I'm on board with that. I'm even eager to see what Miller does next. Just next time, I hope there's less obsession with pushing the boundaries. As Spinal Tap demonstrated, turning it up to 11 in and of itself doesn't necessarily serve much purpose. I'm Dan Persons. Remember, we are archiving these reviews over at my Mighty Movie Podcast website, so check out what you missed by going to mightymoviepodcast.com.